Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ku-ring-gai Local Planning Panel meeting of the 21st of October 2019. On behalf of the panel, I recognise the traditional custodians of the land, the Gurindji people, on whose land we meet. Do we have any apologies? I don't think we do. Thank you. I'd like, at the start of the meeting, to let those people in the audience who haven't been to a meeting before to know a little about the running of the panel meeting. The first item is to introduce the members of the panel. I'm acting as chair today. My name's Kevin Hoffman, and my experience is 14 years as a commissioner of the New South Wales Land and Environment Court. Prior to that, I was in private practice as a founding director of a town planning architecture and landscape architecture practice. And prior to that, I was chief town planner for a sub-region of New South Wales. Since leaving the court, I have been a member of several panels similar to this, and I chair two other panels of similar makeup, one in Blue Mountains and one in the inner west of Sydney. I'll have the panel members briefly explain their experience too. On my right is Michael Levy. Michael, if you'd like to.
Michael Levy, I'm a qualified town planner with 30 years experience in state, local and the private sectors.
Thank you. And on my left, we've got Tony Blue.
Thanks, Kevin. Tony Blue, I'm a registered planner with the Planning Institute. Got 38 years experience as a town planner, 25 years local government and 13 years in private practice.
And on my far left is Elaine Malachy, who's the community rep.
Hello, everybody. My experience is 26 years as an elected councillor of Ku-ring-gai Council, this council. I was also appointed to the Sydney North panel, and the other panel changed its name several times. I'm afraid I can't remember the individual names. That's probably enough.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Malachy. Now I have to ask the panel members, do they have any declarations of interest, a conflict of interest on any of the matters before us today?
No.
No? So...
Mr. Chair, I just would like it noted that on 96 Rowland Avenue, which is an application on behalf of one of the current councillors, I did meet this councillor after she was elected. That was 18 months to 2 years ago. Well, it was over 2 years ago. I have not had any contact for 18 months to 2 years. There is no relationship whatsoever, but I did meet once with the lady. I don't believe I have any bias for or against resulting from that single meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Malachy. I accept that decision. Yes?
No conflict of interest.
Okay. None from Michael Levy, none from Tony Blue, and none from myself. Are there any declarations of interest from members of the staff, council staff? Thank you very much. Now, the procedure today is you'll be aware that the meeting's being recorded. Therefore, people who speak should be aware that they're responsible for anything that they say, and in particular, they should use terminology that's respectful. And then the way the meeting runs is people who are going to speak are invited up to the chairs in the front here, one at a time, or if there's a couple of you to speak on the same matter, you may as well come up and all be seated at the same time, and then we'll hear from each of you. Usually there's a bell chime goes after 3 minutes, and From then on, if you've got more to say, we'll consider whether or not to give you an extension, and then after that we may have some questions for anybody who's speaking. The panel will make a decision today on each of these matters, but we will do it after the conclusion of the public part of the meeting. We then adjourn to the anteroom where we consider all of the submissions. We've had all the reports, and you can see there's quite a bundle of them here. We've had them for over a week, so we've all had time to read them and look at the plans, and today we've been on site to look at each of the properties. So we believe that we're in a good position to give proper consideration to the applications before us. Now, we'll take them in order of the agenda, and the first one is at 39 Home Street, Tarramurra, Torrens Title Subdivision of one lot into two lots and ancillary works including tree removal. It's file number DA0422/18. Now, I do have a registered speaker, and Adam Burns is here present. Mr. Burns, if you'd come over to the front table there. And you can see there's a red light on the microphone. That means it's working. So whenever you're ready to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and panel members and community and staff. My name's Adam Burns. I'm a director of Think Planners, and I represent today the applicant. He's present here as well. The applicant is Mr. Jason Pittman and his wife, Ms. Pike. Mr. Pittman's with us today. I don't intend to take too much of your time because we are in support of the recommendation before you today. You will see in the report that this application's been in for approximately a year. We think that the report skillfully handles the matters that have arisen throughout the assessment. We've responded to issues as they've emerged, and we've now amended the proposal such that it has received the support of staff. We thank the staff. So it's an excellent report in my view, and we would seek your adoption of the recommendation today. We have considered the conditions of consent. We have two matters to raise with you in relation to the conditions. The first is found on page 32 of the agenda, and that only relates to not so much a condition, but just prior to that, as you'll be aware, the recommendation A and B. Recommendation B seeks to restrict this consent to a two-year timeframe. We'd seek your consent for a five-year timeframe, should you be minded to grant consent. My client actually resides in the house at the front, and over time we'll be looking to create the subdivision and then build and move into the rear property, and so the five-year time period we think's appropriate in this instance. And secondly, condition number 23, which appears over pages 38 and 39 of the agenda, it relates to the standard 711 condition of consent. We would seek that the contribution be paid, and if I could take your attention to the top of page 39 and immediately under the figures. Our submission is to alter the timing such that the first paragraph under that table says the contribution shall be paid to council prior to the issue of, and then we would seek to strike out construction certificate and linen plan and just have the subdivision certificate or occupation certificate.
We'll extend since you're into your final points.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
So we're on condition 23, aren't we?
That's correct. And the top of page 39, we just seek that the payment occur prior to the issue of the subdivision certificate. Of course, 7-Eleven contributions are required to for council to provide for services and facilities to meet demand that arises from development. Of course, there'll be no demand that arises out of the construction certificate, but certainly, well, inevitably it will out of a subdivision certificate, but arguably even then it's after the subdivision certificate, but we're quite content with it at subdivision certificate stage. Thank you for listening and happy to respond to any questions.
All right. I just have one question on top of page 39.
Yes.
You can see there's a number of certificates mentioned there. It's prior to the issue of any construction certificate, linen plan, subdivision certificate, or occupation certificate, whichever comes first. So why did you necessarily need construction certificate rubbed out?
Because construction is, of course, at the very beginning of the next step of the process.
So you want it at the end?
At once the subdivision certificate's released, that's
okay.
Right.
So you're simply asking us for a delete construction certificate?
Changed to prior to subdivision.
Correct.
Right, okay. Yep. All right, thank you. Any other questions?
Just one question, Mr. Chair. In terms of the length of the consent, is there a reason why, I guess, within a period of 2 years plus the potential for the year's extension, why the consent couldn't be commenced?
There's no reason other than we understand how domestic situations work, and it makes good sense to if it's an okay consent, then to me it seems unnecessary to restrict it to 2 years and that gives the opportunity for our client to get their domestic finances in line in order to undertake this process. So I see that there's kind of no real planning purpose necessarily to restrict it to a 2 year rather than a 5 year consent.
Thanks.
No further questions? No? All right, thank you very much, Mr.
Thanks.
Burns.
Thanks for your attention.
There's no other speaker on that item, and the panel will reserve its decision for discussion after this public meeting, or a public component of the meeting. We'll now go to the second item on the agenda, which is at 96 Roland Avenue, Warunga, demolition of existing structures and construction of a new dwelling and associated works, file number DA0080/19. Now, I don't have anybody registered to speak for that matter, and there's nobody standing up in the audience. So, that being the case, I'll send that matter straight through for the panel to discuss in detail after the public forum. Now, the next item on the agenda is 1550 Pacific Highway, Warunga, DA023419. And that is Torrens Title subdivision of an approved dual occupancy of one lot into two lots. Now, I do have a speaker registered for that. Sima Fazanpour. Is that person present?
There are four.
Are you? All right.
Speakers.
All right. Yes, you're listed for three and four, Mr. Glendenning, isn't it? So, Ms. Fazanpour, you're going to let Mr. Glendenning speak?
Yeah, but I want to come together.
Yes, you can come together. Yes. Yes. Well, there's only three seats there. Now, don't forget the next property is 552 Pacific Highway, so we'll deal with that separately. Okay? This is 550 Pacific Highway.
You can? Yes.
Can you just
no, you don't have to stand up. You can. Mr. Chairman, my applicant has drafted a letter which he'd like to read to the Commission, to the panel.
Yes.
Can I pass it to you?
Yes, you can pass it to us. The officer will bring it up. It's okay.
Have you got one to read?
I don't want to read.
No, I give it to you. It's okay.
All right. Is it okay if we read this while you're speaking?
Or would you rather read it and then you speak? Ian, just talk with the technical things.
All right, well, this is a bit just give us a moment to read it and then we'll let you speak. All right, I've completed reading it. All panel members? Okay, thank you, Mr. Fazio.
Chairman, my name is Ian Glendinning. I'm a consultant town planner.
Yes.
Been in the business for over 40 years. Last 19 years as a consultant town planner. Prior to that, I was director at Gringai Council.
Right.
12 years. In consideration of this application, I wish to direct council's attention to the case of DemiHelp Brighton Limited versus Gringai Council, that's New South Wales, LEC 178. This was a matter heard before then Judge Perlman in the Land and Environment Court and revived property in Hampden Avenue in Warunga. In this case, the council rejected the application because the subdivision certificates had not been registered. However, the court had found that it had the power to grant a consent and to answer the question of law, which was the provision of dual occupancy development under SEP 53, the meaning of allotment, and whether a certificate of title is required for an allotment in order to allow for this subdivision. That decision, and many others to follow, was generally adopted, and under the provisions of SEP 53 for dual occupancy development, and I know this is not a SEP 53, but it's a matter that's given particular consideration under Schedule 1 of the LEP, where it's listed as a allowable alternative form of development for the site. But Judge Perlman concluded that the court has the power to consent to the application pursuant to Part 3 of the SEP, but no certificate of title has been issued in respect of the allotment upon which the development proposed is to be carried out. During the consideration of dual occupancy application over many years, the fact that the building works had been physically commenced, usually with the slab poured, was sufficient evidence to allow the council, which it did on many occasions, to grant consent to the subdivision. This is no different in that, as I said before, it is a development that's permissible under the LEP. The dwellings have been approved, and you would have noticed today on your site visit that the development is substantially commenced with the wall and roof framing constructed for the houses on 1552. And the slab, the house, one of the houses finished on the other lot, and the slab poured and in place. In the case that I refer to, the court allowed the development subject to the registration of the linen plans with the Registrar General.
Now, the bill's gone, but I'll extend your time, Mr. Glendinning.
The only other point I want to raise is that the question of certainty or uncertainty about this proposal, I don't believe there is a question. The council has approved the development of the dwellings, of the physical structure. What we're talking about now is a line, that's all, between those approved dwellings.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see how you can say there's no certainty when you know the dwellings have been approved, they've substantially commenced, and what you'll get is what you see.
Yes, thank you. Any questions from the panel? I've got a couple myself. But
just one if I could. That court case you referred to, was that a subdivision under the current Ku-ring-gai LEP?
No, it was 2002, that decision. So that was under the Ku-ring-gai Planning Scheme Ordinance of the day.
My question is, the panel can only act under the statutes that apply. Mm. Now, we've been reading the Ku-ring-gai Local Environmental Plan 2015, and it seems to be specific that if the erection of a dual occupancy detached is permissible on the lot under Schedule 1, development consent may be granted for the subdivision after the dual occupancy detached has been erected on that lot, if each resulting lot would have an area of at least 550 square metres and each resulting lot would contain one of the dwellings. Well, now we've been there today. We saw that on one lot, there's two up to frame stage. And then on the one that we're dealing with now, 550, there's a concrete slab and there's an existing house.
And a new garage.
And a new
garage.
Yeah. There was
is that adjoining the existing right house, is it?
Yes.
Right, so that's new. I thought that might have been part of the existing house.
It's been rebuilt. There was a garage there. It's been rebuilt.
Yes.
Okay.
And able to get into it from the new driveway.
All right. But when you read a simple reading of this Ku-ring-gai Local Environmental Plan, which binds us, says after the dual occupancy detached has been erected. And on 15, on the one we're just talking about, 1550, the second house is not erected, is it?
No, but it started to be erected, and the court on previous occasions has acknowledged that effect and granted. You yourself, Commissioner, might have been involved in some of those,
mm-hmm.
The approval of those dual occupancies before the lots were registered.
Yeah. Well, I'm aware the court can override certain things.
Yes.
And this panel can't override certain things.
Again, I just put to the panel, what will be the difference?
Oh.
Talking about a line on a piece of paper, the houses have been approved.
Yes.
It's complicated because the RMS have now come along and said, we want to exhume.
Yes, so I understand the predicament.
Which makes it doubly difficult
mm.
for council and for the applicant. The
yep.
applicant, in good faith, have relied upon the advice that was given by virtue of the planning certificates,
yes,
by virtue of what the written instrument says,
and by
previous decisions.
Now, have you read the officer's report?
Yes, I have.
We're saying that it says that section 4.6 submission in regard to the lots being undersized, and that's before the RMS.
So they're talking about the lots being undersized, those lots being 930 square metres. We're not talking about that aspect of it.
Mm.
Because it says the lots can be 550 square metres.
Right. But you're under the 550 anyway, aren't you?
Now, with this land resumption,
mm.
yes, we will. But we were mightily under before.
Right. You were still under, but not by very much.
That's right.
Yes. Okay.
And there is a 4.6. Submission.
Yes, we've seen that in regard to the 550,
yep.
not as the council officer's report says, the 930. We've also...
It seems to me, Commissioner, with respect, that it's a matter that should be able to resolve between the council and my clients
mm-hmm.
without going to court. It just seems so silly.
Well, it's a matter of what we're empowered to do. And that's the situation that's occupying the mind of the panel at the moment. Because you see, what you wouldn't want us to do is the worst case scenario, if we did happen to approve this and find reasons, I think you have a lawyer's letter submitted.
Yes. Which I saw.
And the RMS decided to challenge that on the basis of validity. It could complicate your negotiations with the RMS even further.
I'm prepared to take that risk.
Mm. Okay. All right, any other questions from the panel? Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to say?
I'm so emotional when it comes to it because it just taking a long time and we didn't know these things is happening with our property. And yes. Now I have to deal with RMS, deal with cancel. I just want to live in my house. I don't want to sell it.
Yes, we understand the complication and your letter puts it very, very easy for us to understand the situation that you're in, but we have to have regard to our situation as well. And our
Sorry, one thing I don't understand. What makes it different if we get the turnstile? We didn't do anything against community or doesn't affect anything. But if you push us to that path, we have to fight with RMS because they want to start the project as soon as possible. Yes. But I don't want to take my land until I become sure that I don't lose anything.
Yes.
With this reason, I have to, I don't know how long it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
RMS situation.
Yes, we understand that. We've got the issue we need to decide about the wording that says that the subdivision can be granted only after the dual occupancy has been erected. That's the.
We have some legal advice which talked about the definition of that word, erected.
Mm.
I haven't had the benefit of seeing that legal advice, which is one of the problems with this process, by the way. We, as the applicant, get no chance to provide any feedback. We don't have, like in the old days where we understand and hear the debate, we don't get to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a real issue with these panels. There is no opportunity for interaction between the applicants and the panel other than this.
Mm-hmm.
It's got major issues, I reckon.
Mr. Glendini, can you remember a time, I cannot, when an applicant had access to counsel's legal advice?
No, that's very true. You're quite right.
So it's never been any other way?
Only if the counselling committee decided to release the legal advice, which was very rare.
Yes.
All right. Now, you've got another gentleman sitting beside you, Mr. Glenn Denning.
He's involved with the other application, so perhaps Hamid, you can move. Okay. And Ali could come forward. Mr. Chairman.
That's all right. Mm. So the gentleman that's now joining you, who is he?
He's responsible for the two frames that have been constructed.
So he's Mr. Ali Rabai?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rabai. What did you wish to say?
Thanks for your time. Yeah,
you were also in conjunction with 1550 Civic Highway.
1552.
Mr. Glendening, you've confused me.
1552 and what?
Ali is the person that's responsible for the two frames that are constructed on 1552.
Well, we're not dealing with 1552 yet.
Okay.
Now.
You can escape on it.
Say that.
Yeah.
So there's no more on 1550. We've heard from you. We've got Ms. Farzanpour's letter, and we now have to consider the details of our decision.
Last thing I add, sorry, because I go. Don't you think, rejecting my tenant's title at the moment, if you do, I don't know, is just against the public interest because... You know, I have to deal with RMS, I don't know how long.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they want to start. And this is maybe, it just delayed their project.
Yes.
Is people like me and others that are reluctant to do this kind of deal with RMS because they are not sure about their project or... I mean, if the Torrance title, if I had this subdivision now, then everything was easy. I can tomorrow call to the RMS, says, okay, we are happy, you can do start your job anytime you want. But now I have to just wait to see what's happening.
Well, look, you've quite clearly put your issues. Our issue as a panel is if we do make a decision, it needs to be a valid decision. That means that we don't issue a decision which, if the RMS wants to negotiate with you, that it can use to disrupt, if you want, or your negotiations. And our responsibility is to make sure whatever decision we make is a valid decision. Yeah. Okay?
That's okay, thanks.
All right. Thank you. If that's all on 1550 Pacific Highway, I'll return that for the panel to discuss in chambers. Thank you. And now we'll proceed to 1552 Pacific Highway. Now, registered to speak again is Mr. Glendenning and Ali. Well, I've got Ali Rabai down for 1550, but you're in fact 1552.
That's correct.
Okay, I'll just amend this so I've got it clear. All right, thank you.
Yes, so if I may start with, I guess.
The commissioner in the panel. Address the commissioner in the panel.
Hi, Mr. Commissioner in the panel. Thank you for your time and giving me to speak on this matter. I am going to keep it short. I just want to give you a bit of a background. So me and my brother have gone into this project to live the Australian dream, buying our first property and moving in. And fortunately, as you can see, we're having a bit of a challenge. We've only heard about the RMS issue after the fact, after we had got even our CCN started work. So we've gone into this blind, not blaming the council, obviously. Information should have been published by RMS earlier. But the challenge I have personally, looking at the executive summary, the three key items listed in there, one's being the definition of the direction of the buildings. Unfortunately for me, what I've struggled with there is finding that definition. Up until the day I received this document, I didn't have a clear understanding of that definition of that word. So my understanding, and having spoken with a couple of different people, they all give me a different scenario or a different definition of that word. Mm-hmm. And that's what's caused a lot of grief with me, because I thought that framing is up, everything is ready, and we comply, or even having the slab down in some instances is defined as it having been erected. So that's, I guess that's my standard, that's my concern, that there wasn't enough information available for me to be able to speed up this process and have the walls and the roof up. If I had the walls and the roof up, based on your report, they would have been erected and I would have probably had a different sort of recommendation in this letter or in this report. One of the reasons for the delay is the material. So because Pacific Highway is obviously coming closer to my property, I've had to do a lot of research, identify soundproof material that's gonna hopefully reduce the noise inside the property. I've got two young kids. My brother has one young child. So we're obviously wanting to reduce the noise. There's a lot of information available around soundproofing, but very mixed information. That's taken me a bit of time to identify the information. We finally identified, we've put an order in. It's going to be about 3 weeks. So I ordered last week. They said 4 weeks, another 3 weeks by the time I receive material on site.
Acoustic panels, are they?
Yeah, they're acoustic panels. There's, the glass has to be custom made for my windows. There's like a 10 mil, 20 mil gap, and another 6 mil. So everything is pretty much custom made. That's what's causing such a massive delay from my perspective.
Okay. Any questions from the panel?
I've got one. I'm getting the impression from the speakers that you feel the RMS proposal is going to impact on your subdivision long term, so that you won't be able to subdivide. Is that how you're feeling? Is it the...
Yes, because the officer's report says so. Basically says you won't be able to comply with the minimum lot size, so you won't get an approval.
I didn't read it that way at all, and I certainly don't interpret
that's what it says.
That way at all. I didn't see that, Mr. Glendinning, but I'll look. Yes, I thought that you were relying on that, and I don't know that that's an accurate assumption.
That's the interpretation I have received from different sources as well.
Are we able to ask the officers, or is that too hypothetical, Mr. Chair?
You can ask the officers anything you'd like to ask.
Okay, I'm not sure which officer. The okie doke.
No.
You're aware, as we all are, of this impending RMS.
This is Miss Ailing from the council.
Yes, I met
Thank
her
you.
Earlier.
Yes, it is.
We're all aware that the RMS is going to be taking over some of this land and other land in the area. Does this mean, by the lot sizes, the new prospective lot sizes, that a subdivision will never be approved for those dual occupancies?
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't. And did you put that in your report that you
no.
can remember?
It's not in my report.
It's not in the report. Thank you very much. That's what I wanted to know. So we can allay your fears in that regard.
We had
about
that in writing. We probably wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
In relation to 1552,
yes.
The subdivision size would comply with the RMS acquisition.
But the other one wouldn't, but it's still possible to get a subdivision on that dual occupancy, even with the smaller lot.
When you say
especially
the other
taking into account, giving consideration to what's happened.
Well, council yes. would need to...
Ms. Malachy, when you say the other one, you mean 1550.
So in relation to 1550, council would need to consider a 4.6 at that stage with the future DA.
Yes.
And the 4.6 would need to meet those strict tests,
yes.
In which a number of arguments could be made under that written submission.
So it's possible.
It's not prohibited to subdivide
not
the land.
At all. So that's something should, it's on tape. I'm sure it's accessible to you, the tape. So that's a good thing for the applicant. I'm not quite sure how to word this. I'll do my best. I get the impression from the report quite clearly that staff aren't against the subdivisions of 1550 or 1552, but it's a matter of an appropriate time when the dwellings are actually erected on that site.
That's right. It's council's assessment that the applications are premature, and under the wording in clause 4C.3, we couldn't recommend lawfully that consent be granted at this stage.
Okay. Is that likely, or is that a question I can't ask? I don't mind if I can't ask it. All things being equal, is there anything major in the site and the conditions that would prohibit a subdivision?
At this point in time, there were no merit issues with either applications.
Yes.
Again, it was a timing situation, and the words of the law in KLEP 2015.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And in response, if I may.
Yes, Mr. Glendinning.
Again, I just refer back to the numerous decisions that have been made by the court about the subdivision of approved dual occupancies. And this is no different, in fact, and with respect to all of those. So I would ask the committee to be aware of those decisions because, you know, if there are no merit assessment issues, there may no merit issues, as Ms. Hailing has said, what is the problem?
Well, I think for us it's the wording of the Ku-ring-gai local environmental plan. It's different to probably what the legislation was in the court hearing.
Still about registration of the subdivision.
Yes.
The subdivision is the same.
Yes.
But same issue.
Yeah.
Like there'd be 40 or 50 of these things that have been done.
Not with the building being incomplete.
With the building at slab level or only up to, you know, partial completion.
Mm.
Heaps of them.
In the Ku-ring-gai local environmental plan area?
Under the dual occupancy, under SEP 53.
But not no. Under the clause 4.13C, which is the one that we're assessing the application against.
But it's similar to it. It's the same principle, whether there's no prohibition on council granting this subdivision approval.
Mm. A lot turns on a word in legislation, I'm afraid.
It does.
Very specific.
Did you have a question?
I just want to ask what your timing might be for completion of 1552?
Well, 1552, the walls and the roof will be up in another month.
I'm just waiting for material, literally. Right. So the windows are receiving about 2.5 weeks. And the acoustic material would be around another 3 weeks.
In respect of 1550,
you would have seen
the original house that's been refurbished and garage constructed, and the slabs poured, so it's more than 50% complete.
Yeah, look, I understand that, and no doubt we'll have a discussion about the wording of the LEP. It turns on that has been erected wording, but I just was wondering what the timing might be. Looks like 1552 is proceeding.
We've got a positive outcome with 1550, I could guarantee you that house would be completed within 2 months.
I get that. I'm just thinking, if the panel goes with the officer recommendation today,
we're gone.
And you, well, if you proceed and then come with a review of determination when you further advance.
It's too risky for us to do that without a subdivision approval. We don't get the subdivision approval. We've spent all the money on building the houses. The lots are undersized.
No. But if you do go for a review of determination in 3 months' time, whatever it is, what's the
can't
limit
do
on
that?
Unfortunately, we don't have time. That's the challenge.
6 months.
RMS has only given us till 1st of November, I think it is, to sort of agree to their offer. And our concern is, if I agree to their offer, then they take my land. My land's not going to be suitable for subdivision. There is a line I'd like to read to you from the report. Proposed alignment of the RMS subdivision. The site is likely to become unsuitable for a Torrens title subdivision. That's in my report. And that's the line that sort of scares me.
That's what the council is saying. These guys bought the land with a planning certificate that refers to Schedule 1 of the LEP and Clause 41. You may build a dual occupancy development on lots 1 and 2 in DP such and such.
Yeah, but that's
what
been
it says.
Yeah, subject to the all the wording. Now, Ms. Ayling, you've been looking at your report.
Could I just ask a question in relation to that? Was that in reference to 1552 or 1550?
It's under...
So that comment is made in 1550?
It's in both, actually. It might have
it's made in 1550.
It is. And that's in reference to we can't provide a guarantee and a hypothetical 4.6 assessment when we don't have a 4.6 before us.
That's true.
Against
yes.
The correct standard.
So yes. Revision 1552 as well. Do you have the 1552?
I've got it here.
I actually got a photo of it under the apologies, but if you see if you can find it,
it must be on the page there.
That one there, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, go further down.
Further down.
Next page.
I can't read it.
My apologies, it does say may become unsuitable for a Torrens title subdivision.
All right. Okay. any other questions from the panel? I understand in the case of 1550, any progress on that development is dependent on bank finance, and the bank won't give finance unless they have a development consent.
That's true.
And that, Mr. Chair, is not a decision for this panel anyway. It's not a matter that we can take into account.
Mm-hmm. So okay. Thank you. Is there anything else from the panel?
No.
Nothing else from the applicants?
Thank you for listening to us, Mr.
Thank
Chair.
You.
Thank you.
We'll take that application also. It's 1552 Pacific Highway, Warunga, DA0234/19 to the deliberations in camera. Now, turning to the last minute. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, I should say that the panel's decision will be published by the council in the next couple of days. I think that's correct, isn't it?
We'll thank you.
Within 48 hours. Thank you. Turning to the last matter on the agenda, it's DA0237/19. No, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The last matter, we have nobody registered to speak. And it's DA0569/18, 108-110 Warrimoo Avenue, St Ives Chase, demolition of existing structures and construction of a seniors living development comprising 7 units, basement parking, and associated works under state environmental planning policy, housing for seniors or people with a disability, dated 2004. Now, not having anybody to speak on that matter, I can immediately return that application for discussion by the panel in camera after this public forum. So thank you all for your attendance here today. The panel will now adjourn to its private session to determine the matters before it. So this part of the meeting closed at 1:20 p.m., but we'll continue afterwards.